RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Report Podcast. This is the interview edition of the show, and I have got a trio of fighter interviews coming up here on this episode of the podcast. The first conversation you're going to hear is a conversation that I had with Adrian Yanez, who fights later on this month at the UFC Fight Night card against Randy Costa. Talked to him about, you know, the funny aspect of how this matchup came together with a little friendly back and forth banter that he had with Randy leading up to this, and talked about the matchup, and also a good part of the conversation was actually about an Instagram post that Adrian had, a time hop video from when he met Cain Velasquez 10 years ago, and talks about Cain signing his father's hat. So great conversation I had there with Adrian Yanez. Then you're going to hear from a pair of fighters who are going to be fighting here on Friday night, Bellator 262. You're going to hear from Johnny Eblen, going to be taking on Travis Davis. Of course, last week had Travis Davis on the show. If you missed that conversation, you can check that out over at themmareport.com, also on the MMA Report YouTube channel. And one of probably the most interesting things that comes out of this interview with Johnny Eblen is he talked about a shoulder injury that he had 2 years ago, and there was a point that maybe he thought that would be kind of his career was getting shorter than he thought. And so a tremendous conversation there with Johnny Eblen. And then the final conversation here is with Cody Law, the undefeated prospect that Bellator signed to make his pro debut, already 3-0 now in the promotion. And I spoke to him about his matchup, taking on a fighter who will have his first fight in 2 years, taking on a fellow undefeated fighter. So Cody Law is definitely one of those prospects you got to pay attention to. Bellator, first time I've had a chance to talk to Cody, so great conversation I had there. Of course, as always, a great way to show your support for this show, leaving a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to. But before I get into the interviews, do want to talk about last night. Of course, UFC 264 went out for the fights with a buddy. And, you know, when we have, you know, these big, huge fight nights, you know, a Conor fight night, you know, I love to go out and see how people interact with it. Probably the funniest story is literally walking into the bar last night and guy having an argument with, I would imagine was his girlfriend or wife, basically telling her how she needed to go home because he wanted to watch the fights with the fellas. Yeah, kind of a little comedy there as I was walking in. But I will tell you my takeaways from it, and working in the restaurant and bar industry on the marketing side, you know, it's always kind of interesting on how people view mixed martial arts. The biggest takeaway I had from last night, being out and about watching his fights, which the place was jam-packed. I mean, it was wall-to-wall people. And to me, it just showed that Conor McGregor still has that value of being able to drive traffic out to a bar on fight night, but what did become very interesting to me as the fight started, it was a very pro Dustin Poirier crowd, which was kind of interesting. I thought it would be more of a pro Conor McGregor crowd, but it was not. I will tell you, my other big takeaway was really what I kind of felt was like a lack of interest for the people there when the Stephen Thompson and Gilbert Burns fight was going on. I think maybe it just kind of got to that point in the night where everyone was just ready for the main event. They were the crowd was very intrigued with Sean O'Malley and what he was able to do against Chris Moutinho. Of course, they loved the knockout there by Tai Tuivasa. And I will tell you this, I was sitting there and I was, as he does that shoey on top of the cage, I'm like, is there someone in this bar that's about to do a shoey? I did not see any shoeys get done, but I gotta imagine there was probably a bar, maybe here in the United States, but definitely back in Australia and New Zealand, that might have been doing a shoey with Tai Tuivasa, got that knockout win. And we'll see what happens there with Greg Hardy now. And I know someone had mentioned this on social media. All of Greg Hardy's wins in UFC, those fighters are no longer in the promotion. So be interesting to see what the UFC does with Greg Hardy moving forward. But Tai Tuivasa, man, that's a guy that you definitely look at him and say, man, that guy can be such a marketing machine potentially for the UFC. But really, my big takeaway from the night was just like, man, Conor still has that ability to draw people. We'll see where Conor McGregor goes from here now. He obviously has a surgery to on that injury he suffered there in the fight. Dana White mentioned that he was going to be having the surgery here today on Sunday. And myself and Daniel Gavon, we'll get into more of UFC 264 coming up on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Also, we'll get you ready for it. This week's Mixed Martial Arts Action. We got the UFC and Bellator both doing shows this week. Well, let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Adrian Yanez, who talks about his matchup coming up here in 2 weeks against Randy Gostin. Adrian, as always, great to have you back on the show. And this upcoming fight, like, everyone, I think, stylistically is in love with this matchup. What was that? I mean, obviously the two of you had a little fun banter back and forth, but was it as much about the stylistic that Randy brings, what you bring, that really, you know, brought that excitement of like, man, I'm down for this one?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know, looking at his style, he's a pressure, come forward type of style, and he goes balls to the wall every single time he gets the chance to. And I like that. I like that a lot. You know, another guy that's sort of similar was Kyle Estrada, and look with how that fight turned out to be. And I honestly am really looking forward to this fight in that sense that I know he's not going to take a step back. I'm going to take a step forward. We're going to meet in the middle, and we're going to duke it out. And honestly, I think MMA Twitter kind of put this one right together. You know, it was perfect. It kind of was just a good mixture. He's gotten two performance bonuses. I've gotten two performance bonuses. And we both did it in spectacular fashion. So I think it's just the making of something big. So I love this matchup. It's a great matchup. I kind of wish that I could just put – I'd be able to sit back and watch this one too. Like, if I were to be able to sit back and pull myself away from it, I would totally do that just to even watch it. Cause man, I think it's going to be fireworks from bell to bell.
You know, I've known Randy for several years, him making his way up. And anytime you talk to Randy or anyone around Randy, he'll let you know this. Head kick. He loves to throw the head kick. So, who in the gym has been literally been throwing head kicks at you 24/7?
Oh man, I got a lot of training partners that love to throw head kicks, man. Actually, the guy who just got signed off this last Dana White looking for a fight, Leo Mano Martinez. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that really likes to throw kicks. He goes low, he goes high. He's very tricky with them. He's been a really good training partner of mine. He's been throwing kicks at me for the longest. He got me ready for the Kyle Estrada fight. So like I've had a guy, I have a really good kickboxing guy that really likes to mix it up. So it's no stranger to me, And then also I have a 6'1" training partner that likes to throw kicks as well. So it's really familiar to me. So it doesn't matter.
In terms of preparing for someone who does love to throw the head kicks the way he does, what's the biggest challenge for you in defending those?
It's just a mixture of just catching it, finding it, like seeing it, just knowing when he's going to throw him, because that's like, other than that, you know, to me, Kyle Estrada was throwing a lot of head kicks, but I was able to check them all. Like, I was able to catch them all. And personally, I feel like Kyle Estrada hit them a lot more than what Randy does. It looks like Randy kind of loads up on him a little bit too much. If I can catch Kyle Estrada's kicks, who was setting up everything. Everything was a setup, and I was able to catch a lot of them. Then I feel like I'll be able to see him. It's more of the loading up process, and I have very good vision. Like I'll give myself that. I can see a lot of things coming before they happen.
I know I was looking at your Instagram account and you set up a new shirt. Love the shirt design, by the way. I thought that was a pretty cool little shirt design there. Mr. Knockout. So who came up with the shirt?
Man, it originated from after the Gustavo fight. Brandon Fitzgerald, he yelled it right after that fight, Mr. Knockout. And then MMA Island, the Instagram, they made a little edit of me, like, doing the original picture of me finger pointing, and on the bottom it said Mr. Knockout, and I was like, oh, I was inspired. So I hit up this guy that does really good designs, and I was like, man, I'm really into comics. I really love this, and I really think we can do something with it. And he saw it and he was like, I know what you want. Put it down. And I was like, dude, I absolutely love this design. By far, I think this is my favorite design, hands down. I love this just because I love the comic book style type of theme.
Do you have a favorite comic book?
Man, I'll say it like this. Like, I got the Deadpool. I got a couple of the Deadpools. So, like, I like the comic book style. Like, actually reading them, I'm not the biggest reader. I've always kind of hated kind of reading. So, like, I remember back in school, they would make me read, and I would be the last one done every single time because I just – if you give me an audiobook, I'll do that all day. If you give someone to read me the comics, I'll do it all day. But I only have a couple, and it's Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, the whole universe. So I was like, yeah, that's the one I got.
Yeah, I'm not a big reader either, man. I've never been. It's just not my thing. Like my wife could read a book all day long. It's not in my MO.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, what I like to do is I like to do I like the audio. Like if it's a really good story and I'm listening to it, I'll deep dive into it. Like I like to like know about comics and comic books and everything. So it's like I'll deep dive into this guy named Comics Explained. He'll explain the comic book from cover to cover, and I love it. So especially like the comic book story, depending on which one it is, like. I'll get like fully involved in that story. I'll try to learn everything about it. But besides reading the comic.
Yeah. I mentioned about your Instagram. You had another one, a time hop image from 10 years ago of meeting Kane. And you talked about your dad, being there with you. Like, what do you remember about that day?
Man, it was, I still remember it. Like it was yesterday. It was very surreal. Cause my dad one day found out that Cain Velasquez was going to be somewhere here in Houston. And man, I just remember just my dad being like, hey, get in the truck. And we went and come to find out, like, he's like, yeah, Cain Velasquez is here. And I started flipping shit because I was like, he was like my absolute favorite fighter at that time. And man, I remember we stood in line for like about hour and a half just to even get that picture. And it was pretty cool because like there's another guy there who like had like so many pictures. And he's like, well, we can only get two or three signed. He's like, here's a picture. And it was happened to be the face off between him and Brock Lesnar. And man, that to me was so cool. He handed it to me, and then I remember holding that picture, just waiting for it to go get signed. And I remember it was at a Nutrition Depot Expo right there that they would have in the parking lot. And I remember one of the big, swole, buff dudes was like, huh, I wonder how that fight went. He's like, man, he probably won, pointing at Brock Lesnar. And I was like, no, actually, it was Cain Velasquez. Sometimes strength isn't all. Like, I kind of deep dived into the fight and just be like, yeah, you know, he might be big and strong, but he got beat up by this little guy. And I remember my dad telling me right after, he's like, whew. He's like, good thing he didn't sit. Good thing he took it well, because man, I was like, that wouldn't have been a fight I wouldn't want to have. But it was pretty cool. But once I got up to the front, I kind of fanboyed out and just. Looked up at Cain Velasquez, and I even gave him a whole speech like, man, like you proved to me that like it's not about the size, not about anything. It's about how much you're willing to go in a fight. And I spewed it out to him, and he sat there and listened. And to this day, man, I still remember those moments. And my dad actually got his hat signed by Cain Velasquez, which he never lets anybody take his hat. He would never let anybody take his hat or anything like that. But he took it off his head and told Cain, like, I don't let anybody touch my hats, but since my son is like, you're a big inspiration, a role model to my son, you get to sign. It would be an honor for you to sign it. And a couple months later, I had my first MMA fight debut, like amateur. My dad wore that hat, and it kind of became the hat that my dad would always wear to all my fights. And then once my father passed, my dad gave, I ended up receiving it, but I ended up giving it to my brother and be like, well, this is yours. It's like, I can't wear it. You need to wear it. And so it's just stayed one of those things that it's a momentum, man. And I love it, man, because that day kind of like kind of changed a lot of things, and also like it's the hat that we wear to this day, you know, for every fight.
You mentioned about, you know, that was right before you got your first amateur fight. Like, if you could go back 10 years with the knowledge you have now and offer the young version of yourself some advice, what would it be?
Man, no, lose all doubt. Lose all doubt in your head. That would probably be the biggest thing, because there's been a lot of times, where I've doubted myself and I didn't know how far, how long this would take me, or what position I'd be in, or like even just in training, being doubtful and everything. I was like, look, lose all doubt. Go out there, have fun every single time, man. It's a serious sport, but at the same time, just don't lose doubt, because those doubts turn into demons, and those demons seep into negative thoughts, and it'll put you in a different mind state where you don't want to get up and do something because you just don't feel like doing it. It's a downward spiral. But you know, keeping all doubts away and just really trusting in the process, man. I feel like that would have changed a lot of things for me, a lot of things.
You know, as we're talking, we're 2 weeks out from this matchup. Is these last 2 weeks, is it tough to have fun in the training room, because you know you're in that, you know, that last grind, those last hard sparring sessions? Is it tough?
I would say yes and no. Yes, as in like it's like there's little kinks here and there. You're waking up, you're like sore, you're like, man, I got another 2 weeks before fight week. But honestly, like it's just one of those things that is, the soreness is not the fun part, but the fun part to me is getting up to go do what I love to do. That's the best part about this. And that's another thing. Like I wake up every day thinking like, man, like this is my job. Like this is like, if the going back to the old saying is like, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's how I feel as of right now. It might be going out there training really hard, but I really don't consider it work, because I love doing it. Like I love doing it. Like actually, a good one is today. This morning, is I woke up and I was like, man, I'm sore. I was like, I'm getting up and going. And I remember telling my training partner, I was like, look, I'm like right before training, we're just kind of sitting, BSing before the class starts, and I just remember like, I just need to get up and go. And once I'm going, I'm good. Like I'm good. So pretty much, like I'll have those days where I just need to get going, but this has just been fun for me. It's all fun. Like as much as I don't like eating, but eating the healthiest part is probably the worst part for me. Like, cause I knowing you had to be really strict on your diet, that's the worst part. But if we didn't have to cut weight, we could just walk in or whatever weight and fight, then I'll probably be the happiest guy in there. But man, that's it. It's like it's something I get to do every day, and it's something I get to train, and just something I love to do. And it's fun for me, man. I don't consider this a job. I don't consider I'm working. And then like people ask me what I do for a job, and I'm like, oh, I'm a fighter. It's like, that's your job? It's like, no, not necessarily, but I love doing it. So it's cool to explain that.
Saw you got verified on Twitter. Dr. Pepper looks like they're starting to show you the love too.
Oh yeah, I'm hoping so, man. I got responded to by once, and I never heard from them again. But Twitter verified me, and then right after Twitter verified me, my Facebook verified me. I don't know if they're all conjoined or what's going on, but now it's pretty cool. Like everybody's like, man, Adrian Yana's got a blue check mark on Facebook. I got family telling me. I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. So it means something now. I guess I'm a somebody.
You mentioned about how the diet is, you know, obviously that's the tough part. Every fighter talks about that. It's a diet of being strict to your diet. So are we not taking any Dr. Pepper? Do we gotta wait till the fight's actually over?
Oh man, that's one of those things that I like to stay super strict on. I abstain from Dr. Pepper whenever it's fight time, fight camp and all that stuff. So as soon as I get out from a fight, that's one of the first things I want. And it's always the same feeling. It's always like, as soon as I get that drink, it's just the refreshingness, the 23 flavors of goodness every single time. And every time like I take that drink, I had to get reused to the carbonation. So I love it. I fall in love with it every single time. So Dr. Pepper, please sponsor.
So now, are one of your cornermen responsible for having the Dr. Pepper? Like, and do they got to make sure like this thing's ice cold?
Oh man, like this last time around, I didn't get it after my debut. After my debut, I didn't get it, so I was a little bit like kind of like, man, this sucks. But going around, actually, no, I did get it after my debut. I didn't get it after my contender series because I asked for it. They're like, all we have is Sprite and Coke. I was like, man, y'all got the worst ones. But I got it after my debut because shout out to the guy at Iridium, Jacob Parga. We stopped at a Chili's, I think, and we ended up getting a Dr. Pepper to go just for it. Just for it. And I was like, man, I was like, this is pretty cool. But this last time around, I asked for it after the UFC, and this lady went all around the Apex Center just trying to find me a Dr. Pepper, found me a Dr. Pepper. I was like, this is amazing. Thank you so much. So it has to be cold. And I even had backups at the hotel.
I was going to question, like, is it someone's responsibility when you roll to Vegas, you check in the hotel, like, they got to go find the nearest store, nearest convenience store, the guy who get the 12-pack to be ready to go after the fight's over?
Oh, no, that's all me, because I am sitting there waiting for it. Just, it's my pleasure. It's like, it's my vice. So I go out there and I make sure I supply my own, man. I'm not going to have anybody else supply me, man. I have to find, because I'll get the Dr. Pepper and then also the Dr. Pepper Jerry.
Really? Okay. All right. Well, hopefully you have a nice, tasty Dr. Pepper after this fight here come up on the 24th. As always, Adrian, appreciate the time. Of course, let me know where they can find you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Oh, man. You can follow me on Twitter at YanezMMA, officially verified. Instagram, AdrianYanez93. And you can still friend me on Facebook at AdrianYanez or follow the fan page, AdrianYanezMMA. So anywhere is good. Also, as you mentioned before, I have a new fight shirt at YanezMMA.com. You can go out there and order one, show support to your local. So I still call myself a local fighter, but it's just to support a fighter. So thank y'all so much. A big shout out to my coach, Salsa Lee. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in the position I am today. A big shout out to the Radio Sports Agency. You know, they treated me very well.
And that was my conversation with Adrian Yanez. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his fight coming up here 2 weeks, UFC Fight Night, taking on Randy Costa. And, man, that should be a fun fight. Stylistically, two guys that want to stand and trade. And, of course, Randy is a guy that loves the head kicks. You heard, how I brought that up there with Adrian Yanez. And very interesting to kind of hear the story behind that time hop photo that Adrian had on his Instagram of meeting Cain Velasquez 10 years ago. And I will tell you, when it comes to that card on the 24th, Yanez and Costa is a matchup I'm really looking forward to. Of course, that's a card that is scheduled to be headlined by TJ Dillashaw and Corey Sandhagen. Now, coming up next, you're going to hear a pair of Bellator 262 interviews. Up first, you're going to hear the conversation I had with Johnny Eblen, the middleweight prospect, just signed a new deal with Bellator. He has got Travis Davis here, so I spoke to him about how this matchup came together, and also he talked about who he credits for helping him grow as a mixed martial artist following an injury that he had 2 years ago. Johnny, as always, man, appreciate the time. You got another matchup here. I got to ask you. So I talked to Travis Davis last week, and Someone left a comment on YouTube that kind of alluded to, was this not the first opponent for this card, that there were some other names approached to you that ultimately those fighters didn't sign the contract?
Yeah, Khalid. Wait, I don't know if I think Khalid, the Russian guy that signed with Bellator, I signed a contract to fight him originally, and then he ended up getting hurt or something, or he backed out. I'm not sure exactly why. And then I signed to fight Travis Davis, and then for some reason there was a miscommunication or something, and they said that he didn't sign the contract or something. And then I was kind of like, I guess I was out of the loop, or Bellator was out of the loop, or whatever. The information I was getting wasn't the right information. But there was like a couple weeks where I was like unsure. We were still looking for an opponent. But then I got a call to do like the TV interview stuff. and they said they talked to Travis and he's all gung-ho about the fight. I'm like, wait, what? I thought he didn't sign. I'm sure my dog's chasing a lizard. And I was like, oh shit, okay, sweet. And then yeah, he ended up being the guy. I talked to Mike Kogan, and you're like, yeah, he's the guy. I'm like, sick, awesome. Now I have an opponent. I can set my mind on it and start training for this guy. So yeah, it was a little bit weird, but it's whatever.
So what was training like during that period where you're like, okay, I think I'm fighting Travis. I don't think I'm fighting Travis. I'm waiting to potentially hear who it might be. I mean, is it just that mindset of like, look, I'm going to worry about my own abilities. And whenever they call me with the opponent, I'll look into them and see what I need to prepare for.
Yeah, pretty much just working on skill sets I need to get better at, and it's getting better every day. And at the end of the day, I just like to know who I'm fighting just so I can, you know, study them a little bit and kind of see what they like to do, and, you know, train. I can kind of train for them, but regardless though of who it is, I'm always trying to get myself better and trying to work on my techniques and prepare, you know, prepare to bring out the best Johnny Eblen in every fight.
Obviously brutal knockout in your last one. I know the cliche we hear in the game is like, hey, I'm trying to be, you know, evolve that version where the current version of me would destroy that version show up on that night. So like, as you look at how you've evolved as a fighter since that win against Daniel, what is there something you see in yourself that you can just, you see the changes?
Yeah. I've been making adjustments in my life every day. Just my day-to-day life. I think as a human, as a whole, I've changed. I've changed my whole thought process about how I go about my day. I'm more mechanistic every day. I try to make decisions that are going to benefit me as an organism every single day. So like, as you can tell, I'm sitting outside right now while I'm chilling on my phone. It's just better for my anatomy to be outside. I got to get sun every day. So like, first thing in the morning, what's the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning?
For me, operating multiple businesses, it's like, okay, what's on the agenda for today? What's got to get done first? That's like I was like, this morning I had to go out to one of my restaurant properties because we had a printer problem. Yeah. So like, I knew that I was like, okay, got to get in the car, got to take the 45-minute drive.
Yeah, my first thought when I get up is I got to get outside. Literally, I got to get outside. I got to get grounded. I have a pool, so I come out here, I sit, I get some morning sun. And I ground. That's my first thought every time I wake up. So then, and then that's like, I have like a 30-minute time to myself. And then I start getting ready for practice. And then I go train. So, that's just like a one little snippet of my day. You know what I mean? But that's like a thought every, like after training, I'm thinking about rehydrating, getting back home, getting some more sun, like noon sun, some UV sun. And then, worrying about like how I'm going to refuel my body and stuff. And, yeah, I just try to think about how me as a human can thrive pretty much every single moment of the day. So I'm really just trying to take care of myself so I can have the longest fight career. And so when I show up on fight night, I'm just a killer. I'm a machine.
You mentioned about that thought process, and I was going to bring up this Instagram post you had about last month where I don't want to butcher his name, Nadi Aguilar. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Nadi Aguilar. Yeah.
And where you wrote grateful for the person he is and how he has helped you out and helped evolve you. So how did the two of you connect?
So about 2 years ago, I had a really bad shoulder surgery. And I was struggling to come back. I was in constant chronic pain, just all over the place, looking in the wrong places to feel better and, you know, to try to solve my pain problems and all sorts of other problems too. But I came across FP because I was doing the whole traditional therapies thing and it wasn't working. And I was thinking about, dude, I might have to retire sooner than I thought. And I ended up stumbling across FP, Functional Patterns. They have like an Instagram page. I noticed Kyle Dake was on it, and I'm like, okay, Kyle's I come from a wrestling community, so I know who Kyle Dake was. And I'm like, okay, well, this guy's really smart. He's from Cornell. Maybe he's onto something. And I ended up getting hooked up with Nadi about like a few months after that. For some reason, we connected. He brought me out to Ithaca. I got to see him train with Kyle, and he also trained me a little bit. And then ever since then, we've just been building upon that. and I've just been getting better and better as we, you know, started working together. So I've just been making little adjustments to where I'm at today. And even now, dude, I'm just like, I got a shit ton of work to do, you know, studying a lot of film, I'm trying to picture a lot of the day. I try to picture the type of athlete and the type of fighter I want to be. I visualize that. And then I think about all the steps and the processes I have to take to get to that level. So, looking at me now and then looking at where I want to be, I got some work to do. So yeah, that guy really, helped me get out of my pain issues, especially with my shoulder. And then I ended up getting a knee surgery, but, I ended up not doing traditional therapy to come back from that. I just used FP protocols, but basically the dude put me on a protocol, on how to take care of my body and how to think and how to solve problems that you know, show up every day. And, it's really helped me out. And, I can say my life's a lot simpler now and definitely don't have the same issues that I used to have.
So if we're talking about a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is where you want to be as a fighter. Where are you currently at on that scale?
Dude, maybe like a 3 or something or a 4.
Okay.
There's so many things that I need to clean up and fix. And I look and I'm just like, dude, I suck. I feel like I suck sometimes when I look at myself. There's moments where I'm like, oh shit. Okay. That's a 10 right there. That's good. But then like there's other moments I'm like, that looks like shit, dude. No, I got to fix that up. I got to clean that up. And thankfully I have Naughty. I have ATT. I have all my coaches out in ATT. I got Mike Brown. I got King Mo. I got Steve Mako. Got my striking coaches, Anderson and Dia Davis. We have a bunch of fighters there that can help me out. So thankfully I'm at the right spot and I have the right minds around me to where I can be a 10 all around.
Now, obviously, I think more times than not, I hear fighters say, I'm my toughest critic. You know, they'll maybe say, you know, all my coaches, you know, they're critical of me too, but they'll say at the end of the day, it's me that's the hardest on myself. Is that true for you? Where it's like, you're going to have bad days in the gym. It's just, we're human. That's going to happen. There's going to be days where, you know, someone gets the better of you that day. I mean, are you the hardest critic?
Probably. Sure. I mean, I feel like the team around me, I have some people that tell me, how it is. You know what I mean? They're not easy on me. They tell me how shit is. They're real. And that's why I keep them around. But yeah, I would say at the end of the day, I'm my hardest critic because I know all my flaws. I know everything wrong and I can pick little things out that other people might not be able to see, but, or might seem like, hey dude, that's fine. Like, that's okay. I'm like, I think I can do better, you know? So yeah, probably. I'm probably my biggest critic.
You know, when I talked to Travis, he said, he goes, look, I've watched Johnny. I know he does well. You know, he's coming off a great win. We know he can do with his wrestling. But what's your thoughts on Travis as a fighter?
Seems like a game opponent. Seems like he has a good amount of fights, you know, 10-4. He also has some boxing matches. So he's a vet. He has a lot of fights. He has a lot of experience. So, and the dude comes to fight. So. That's basically my thoughts on him. Dude's game, and he's going to show up, and he's going to probably put on a good show.
Obviously, you're climbing your way up the rankings. I mean, as part of it, is your mindset of like, look, I just got to go out there, get this win, and then I need somebody with a number between 1 and 5?
1 and 5? I don't – it's top 10. I haven't even found a ranked guy yet. I'm number 5. I don't need to fight top 5 guys right away. Mm-hmm. If anything, let's get a top 10 guy after this, maybe. You know, I'm not really even thinking about that. But, I'm more thinking about how am I going to put this dude away? How am I going to put this guy away in violent fashion? And then I'll think about that after. But, it would be nice to fight someone that's ranked, you know, that has a number by him. Because this will be my 5th fight with Bellator. So my 6th fight against a ranked opponent would be nice, you know.
And there you have my conversation with Johnny Evelyn. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his matchup come up here on Friday night in the opening matchup of the main card on Showtime against Travis Davis. Of course, had Travis Davis on the show last week. If you missed that, you can check that out over at themmareport.com. Also on the MMA Report YouTube channel as well. And we'll see how, you know, Travis is a guy I've spoken to for a couple years now, but I'll say it's very intriguing interesting note there from Johnny Evelyn talking about that shoulder injury he had, and how there was a time he was really kind of questioning where he was going to go from there, and I'm sure there's a lot of fighters who can relate to that. Now, in the final interview you're going to hear on this edition of the podcast, it is going to be with Cody Law, the undefeated prospect, a guy that a lot of people are very high on, 3-0 now in his career, going to be a part of this card here on Friday, taking on a fellow undefeated fighter, a fighter who's 1-0 but has not competed in over 2 years. So I spoke to Cody about his matchup here on Friday night at Bellator 262. Cody, man, as always, appreciate the time to chat here before a fight. Fourth professional fight. Obviously, you've been through this ringer of these pro fights. Like, as you think about your run to this point in your mixed martial arts journey, like, how do you sum it up?
Just getting started. You know, I've only had 3 fights. This is my 4th fight. I feel like this is just the beginning. I'm trying to bust them out quickly so I can get a lot under my belt in the first year here. Hoping for 2 more this year. That'll be 5 to 6 fights in about 12 months.
I know after your last fight, you were hard on yourself, you know, of going the distance. But is it one of those things that after the fact you go back and you look at it, and it's one of those things like in the moment you're kind of you're like, man, I could have gone out there and got the stoppage. But after the fact, you go back and say, you know what, it was a good performance.
Sort of, you know, it's always kind of that thing, I think, with competitors, for myself at least, even after a sparring session, I can have a session where I probably won, but afterwards, if I don't think I did good enough, I'm pretty upset. And then you go back and watch and you're like, okay, it wasn't that bad. I went back and watched my fight. I didn't think it was like a great performance, but I was happy with the fact that there was a lot of things I got to learn from it. And just going 3 rounds, you know, that teaches you that to yourself that, you know, that's the first time I've ever fought 15 minutes. So I can look back on that and be happy that that happened at least.
So hearing you say that makes me go, would you call yourself a perfectionist?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you can never be perfect, right? That's the whole point of being a perfectionist, is you're kind of chasing an unattainable goal, but you have to be, if you have the goals I have.
In terms of, you know, I was watching this video where you were talking about, you know, hey, early on in your life, I think you mentioned 13, 14 years old, is when you knew that this was the path you were going to be on. Was there ever a thought of not being a martial artist?
From the time I was 13 or 14, that was pretty much the goal. I mean, there was moments here and there where I was like deep into wrestling, and I thought maybe I'll try to continue to wrestle after college, but I just love this. You know, I've always wanted to do it, and I'm so happy that I get to do this every day.
Like, you know, athletes always talk about, man, you gotta love that grind, you know, that day in, yeah, day out grind. Like, yeah. Is there something you do when you're having those rough days in the gym where, I mean, look, you know, hey, there's going to be days where you're just not going to be on your game. You know, your partner's going to get the better of you that day. Is there something you do to get your mind off everything?
No. I just come back home and watch the sparring, and then I watch fights and compare and text Mike Brown and say, can we go back in tonight and try again, you know, and just keep at it. And that's it. The only thing I do to really that's away from the sport is after a fight, I go home to Pennsylvania for maybe 2 weeks, spend time with my family and friends and unwind a little bit, but then I'm right back here. And I like this routine.
When I was looking at your Instagram, you know, there was a hashtag that I kept seeing come up in your posts, which was leave no doubt. Is that a mindset that goes back to your wrestling days?
Yeah. I feel like back earlier in my career, when I was a bit younger, I had this bad habit of competing not to lose, you know, where it was like, let me just try to hand fight hard and win by maybe a takedown or something. And that kind of leaves things up in the air. You know what I mean? And as I got older, I was more of, I'm not competing to not lose. I'm trying to score a lot of points and you know, make it look like I'm way better than the guy. And now it's kind of carried over into MMA. You know, I want to make sure that there's no question that I'm the better fighter every time.
you know, every time you go into a fight, you know, because I always look at the betting odds, and you're always a massive betting favorite. You know, people look at your rest credentials and how everyone talks about you. Do you ever feel that pressure heading into a fight of like, man, I'm the guy that has the target on his back?
Not really. I feel like still that I'm the one chasing everybody else. You know, I think I'll always feel like that because whenever I was a younger wrestler, I was the underdog all the time. I was not good. I was always losing. And I always feel probably even when I'm world champion, I always feel like I have work to do and I have to catch up to other people, you know? So I don't ever think about that. I see the odds because I've gotten into betting a little bit here and there because of the people I'm around out here in Florida, but I don't really, doesn't do anything to me.
Is there ever a time where you're like, I'm only that big of a favorite? Like, do you ever have that mindset of like, I should be a bigger favorite than that?
So maybe the first fight I would have thought like that if I had known as much about betting, but I was just learning about betting. Okay. I didn't know anything about odds or any of that shit, but I think the last one was like -1,000 or something. I'll probably even be worse this time because I tell my friends and stuff like, I'm going to bet on you. I'm like, I wouldn't do it. You'd have to bet like $2,000 to win any money. You know, it's, I don't even think you can bet that much on most of the sites.
You should sit there and go, if you bet on me, you know, you got to give me a cut. If I'm the one going out there doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. I've told him that. I've thought about betting on myself, but, it's just too much, differential.
You know, looking at your opponent here, the thing that sticks out to you is the fact of this is going to be his first fight in 2 years. As you look at that, I mean, is it one of those things of, okay, I can go look at his amateur fights, I can look at his one pro fight, but man, it was so long ago that at the start of this matchup of maybe you do kind of let that feeling out process just to kind of see if he does show you something different than you and the team have seen on film?
Well, I haven't really seen anything on film. There's not really any film of him. And again, it's different. Even if there was film of him fighting lesser competition, you don't really take much away from that, you know? I don't really care. I just want to go fight. Him not being in there for 2 years, it definitely doesn't help. You know, I've been in there 3 times in 7 months. I feel like it's like home field advantage for me every time I go to Mohegan Sun. I saw that Bellator's going to Cali on the 31st, and I don't like it. I like the Mohegan Sun. Now, especially when we're in quarantine and stuff, I like the routine there.
Yeah, I've been there. You know, the only thing I don't like about Mohegan Sun is you fly into Hartford, then it's like a 45-minute hour drive to get there. That's about the only downside to it.
Yeah, I don't like that either, but what are you going to do?
It is what it is. Like, do you like the fact that there's no film out there in a way? Does it make you think about, like, growing up in wrestling, you just show up for a meet on Saturday and you're just going to go out there and compete against the guy who's across from you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about it like that. I haven't really thought about it, honestly. If there's film, you know, I'll watch maybe a little bit, but Mike Brown will watch most of it. But it's whatever, you know?
Let's end on a fun one. Let's say you're an American Top Team. Mike Brown says, Cody, you get control of what goes on for music-wise. What's going on in the speakers?
We don't play music, so.
Well, if you could.
If we could. When I'm training, I like maybe Drake.
Okay.
Drake, I like. That's a good upbeat kind of music for training.
And that was my conversation with Cody Law. I appreciate him coming on the podcast, talk about his matchup coming up here on Friday night, Bellator 262. Of course, myself and Daniel Galvan, we will talk more about Bellator 262 on Wednesday's episode of the podcast. Before I get out of here on this edition of the podcast, I do want to mention about a press release that I got earlier this week, and it is a movie that is called Notorious Nick, as this is a movie that is about the life of Nick Newell. It is the lead actor in the show portraying Nick Newell is Cody Christian, and this is what the press release had to say about it. It said, even though he was born with a partial left arm, Nick Newell dreams of being a fighter. After wrestling in high school, Nick becomes a fierce competitor when his best friend Abi introduces him to mixed martial arts. Suddenly, a tragedy provides Nick with an unexpected opportunity, but to succeed, he must commit to becoming the fighter he had hoped to be. And so this is, there's actually the trailer is already out there for this movie. If you go on Christian's Instagram account. It has the trailer out there. Cody Christian's Instagram account, as he did put out a trailer for this movie. So the people behind that movie had reached out to me. So I want to let everyone know about that movie is coming out here about the life of Nick Newell. Of course, we've seen Nick most recently in Bellator. Of course, as always, appreciate everyone taking time out of their day to download and listen to this edition of the podcast. Of course, if there's ever a fighter or someone in the mixed martial arts industry that you would like to hear on this podcast, whether it's a fighter, a promoter, maybe it's another media member, you just want to hear us kind of talk about what's going on in the world of mixed martial arts, you can do that. You know, basically Instagram, Twitter at Jason_Floyd, best way to reach out to me. I know sometimes the Instagram DM is a little easier because it's a longer form. So if you want to hit me up on my Instagram DMs, that is at Jason_Floyd. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which comes out 2 times a week on Sunday, the interview edition. Then, of course, on Wednesday, it's myself and Daniel Galvan as we discuss everything going on in the mixed martial arts community.